you're going to get so much more out of this than you're going to ever be able to give to somebody else. You know, you will come out of that experience saying, oh, God, I thought I was going there to help them. Mm. What really ended up happening was I was helped. You know, but both happen. But when you give it all to God, you can't outgive him. You know, there's just...
Well, it's interesting how the message of the gospel is to deny yourself, to come unto God, and he will give you life and life more abundantly. And I think the abundance is an internal job. You know, it's an inside job that the Spirit of God does in all of our lives when we do get outside ourselves. And I think that's the biggest challenge we have many times every day is to get past ourselves, you know, and see the world. And I think the challenge that you're presenting is, you know, if you haven't been out to the world, you might have seen it on TV, but you've never really experienced it. You've never really seen it. And that this is what has in your life changed you forever. And had you not done this, you would have missed out on what it means to be a follower of Christ, to go into all the world.
Yeah. As you were saying, seeing on TV, one of my fears about going on, you know, internationally or whatever, especially when I was going to Haiti, was the smells. Like, I'm very sensitive to smell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my wife even laughs at me because, like, you just exaggerate. You're like gag over little smells or whatever. And I thought, the smells are going to make me, you know, sick or whatever. Yeah. And when I got there, it just wasn't even a factor. You know, even the people in Haiti, when they get ready for church, you know, they go to church dressed white, ironed, you know, suits, ties. I mean, I was blown away. I'm like, oh, my gosh, nobody in America goes to church, presses their shirts and, you know, as white as this. And then they're dancing. I mean, they literally sweat through their suit every week. I'm like, I don't know how they do it, you know, but the passion is just something that you'll experience if you go serve in the mission field with where there's existing missionaries, the passion that you'll see.
Maybe we should get back to some of those excuses, because I feel when people listen to messages like this, they think, I don't know if this is for me. It's good for you, but and things are going around in people's heads.
Yeah.
You know, and frankly, things go around in our heads when we think about sharing Jesus with somebody at our workplace or somebody at wherever you might go. And here now we're talking about mission. So you said you had a list, and one of them was you're going to be afraid of things you might eat. You might be afraid of just being in a different country. What are some of the other things that go through people's minds that would keep them from maybe walking into their destiny?
I think health and food, you know, is a big deal. You know, just you gotta. I often told my kids, you know, if you want to go on a mission trip, you need to eat whatever's put before you. You know, if you're going to be a picky eater, then, you know, that's dishonoring to someone when you're served someone in someone else's home or someone else prepares a meal for you and you're like, you turn your nose at it, I don't like that, or the, you know, whatever.
It might revolutionize your prayer life over eating the food God presents to you.
Exactly. And you don't have to eat it. My one son was in Nepal, and he realized he would go and stay in these people would invite you to stay on their porch. That was like his plan for, you know, hiking through Nepal. And they would serve this thing called butter tea. And he said it was so disgusting that he said, but there was an art to it, because if you drank it too slow, they would be insulted, like you didn't like it. And if you drank it too fast, they would immediately fill the cup back up again. So he's like, oh, I just had to navigate how to just be drinking this, you know. And the probably the grossest thing I've ever been served, and I don't know if I tried to eat it, but it was like chicken feet, you know, just like the feet, I guess they boiled it or something.
Okay.
You know, and just... And the Haitians were like eating the meat or skin or whatever off the feet. And I just was like trying to bite into it. And I was like, I couldn't.
Well, actually, those are ground up into our chicken McNuggets. So yeah, don't think you're not really probably eating chicken feet at some point.
Exactly. But yeah, so that's a big one, because.
What about the whole idea? Now, you're going on a medical missions. And I think I recall when I had looked into this at one time that you might have to get. Is it possible that you might have to get a vaccine these days, or how does that work?
All right. So if you're going in, you know, a third world setting, you need to have your immunizations updated, you know, like hepatitis, you know, those vaccines, Hep A and B, you know, probably measles, because it's not, measles and all that is still pretty prevalent in some places. In fact, my one daughter came back from India with measles because we thought she was immunized and she wasn't. It was a big deal with the health department and whatever. And then to go to Africa, you need to have yellow fever. That's a one and done kind of thing. I had to get that last
And these
year.
Are these are vaccines, especially in light of what we've been through with COVID, that have been used for years and years and years. So people don't need to think that these are something new, that these have been vaccines that have been used for years, right?
Yeah, this whole COVID vaccine fiasco has turned everybody off to just vaccines in general.
Right.
And I'm not a fan of COVID vaccine. You know, I've gotten a few, but I'm not getting any more. Anyway, but most of the other vaccines are, yeah, they've changed the world.
Yeah.
You know, saved countless lives.
Right.
And just because of one blunder doesn't, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Exactly.
So anyway, I know it's controversial.
Well, but at least in the sense that people who were thinking about going on a missions trip, that the vaccines you may need to take are not going to be anything revolutionary. They've been taken for years and years and years. And, you know, so that's so that excuse is out the window.
You know, and it just I'm looking down at my list here and just time off work. You know, we all want to have a vacation, you know.
How long is the average short-term missions, Bob?
Most of the trips I've been on have been a week long.
Okay.
The one to Uganda because
So
it's
give
such
me an
a
idea.
Flight.
If you leave, let's say, if you leave on a Friday afternoon from a local airport, when are you looking at getting back from a short-term mission trip?
Probably that following Friday
The following
night.
Friday?
Yeah.
She'll actually be on the ground for maybe about 5 days doing some various types of services.
Most of the things I've done, with the exception of India and most of them have been within a 3-4 hour
Guatemala.
Flight. Yeah, that's a 2.5 hour flight.
Okay.
So most of the things you usually catch a flight. I'm not a morning person, but usually the only times I get up super early in the morning is get ready to go on a mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we still got the whole day there, and then the day we get back. So you can get a good six days of ministry in, you know, with. And then you get to experience, it's not all work and whatever. There's usually a day of sightseeing or whatever. Like this trip to Guatemala, we're going to go hike up this volcano at the end of our trip this time. We've never done that before, something different. So
so there are some fun things you end up doing.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
But the whole experience is just so fulfilling.
What is an average mission trip cost? I mean, if there's an average price for flight and for the time you're spending away, just to give us some practical information, maybe give us an idea of how a typical, you know, fundraising thing might look at it. If you are going to a church now, or even if you have friends, I think you don't need to ask only Christian people. You could probably ask friends that know that you are a believer and would be happy to donate if they knew you were going on a mission. What does a kind of a normal campaign kind of look like from beginning to end, from the time you speak to someone, you get set up with a group of missionaries? What's the kind of standard, you know, procedure that you follow?
I don't know if there's a standard, because I'm such a cheapskate. And we've always done everything we could to make the trips as cheap as possible.
Right.
Which is part of the reason why we've done the Caribbean or whatever, because the flights there are, $250, whatever.
Oh, okay.
And they're bumping up there. But anyway, and I'm trying to make it affordable that young people and their families can afford to let their kids experience this. So it would... I'd say it ranged, if you're going on a cheapskate trip with me kind of thing, it'd probably be maybe $900. You know, the trip to Uganda, the flight there is almost $2,500, and they eat it, I would say, too fancy of restaurants, my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But because they're taking doctors and whatnot, they're not cutting any corners as far as the niceness and whatever.
Yes.
That trip is, I think, $4,300,
$4,250,
to go to Uganda, and that's for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So,
Missions trip?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember the first mission trip, I seem to remember, it was like $1,600, and I thought, man, this was it's too much money wasted on the hotel. We could have done this for half this price and stayed in whatever, but I wasn't in charge then. Now I'm.
What do you say to people who may be challenged by you know, finances. Do you ever have or even think about the conversations? Because I speak to people about the money they spend sometimes on their hobbies or their cars or whatever. And I sometimes think to myself, even as I look at my own life, maybe when you see people like you see on the missions trip, it changes you and makes you think twice about how you're spending your money.
It does, yeah. You know, even the little things that, you know, $5, $6 for a cup of coffee every day, you know, all that stuff adds up, you know, and the money that we just spend on all these things, if you really sit down and I don't know how many people do budgets anymore, but, you know, you sit down and do a budget, you know, and that was kind of eye-opening for my wife and I when we first did a budget a long, long time ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, we are spending like $500 more a month than we're taking in, you know, when you factor in Christmas gifts and all the once-a-year kind of things, and you average that out to the monthly. It was crazy. It was so eye-opening. But anyway, so we just started slashing stuff and whatever, and realizing there's a difference between wants and needs, and most Americans don't know the difference between wants and needs, and going on to a third world, you know, place gives you a little bit of different perspective on what you really need and what you just kind of want, you know. And as I was saying, that popped in my head when we went to
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
captives of my people Israel. They shall build the broken walls and cities and live in them. From the nations, I plant them in their land. They shall grow and flourish like a vineyard, not be moved again. Alle, alleluia, oh shout for joy. When the fallen tent of David has been restored. From the nations, I'll bring them by the hand, Jew and Gentile worshiping together as one new man. Strike the harp and play upon the timbrel, oh children, dance and sing, shout for joy.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Mibella Casa Corp is a family-owned, woman- and minority-certified business dedicated to janitorial, commercial, post-construction, and residential cleaning, providing service to doctors' offices, schools, private daycares, commercial buildings, and clubhouses. Mibella Casa can be reached at MibellaCasaCorp.com or call 561-202-4626, providing service to Palm Beach, Broward, and Martin counties.
Welcome to Constitutional Conversations. I'm Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Why is it so important to understand the Constitution? Understanding the heritage and history that God gave us enables us to honor and obey Him so He can rescue us and America. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10 says in part, "The Congress shall have power to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations." In the constitutional debates, Madison said, "If the laws of the states were to prevail on this subject, the citizens of different states would be subject to different punishments for the same offense at sea. There would be neither uniformity nor stability in the law." Governor Morris pointed out that such laws must be defined before they can be punished. He said they should be definable as well as punishable, the law of nations often being too vague and deficient to be a rule. Thomas Jefferson stated in his address to the Congress in 1801, "To this state of general peace with which we've been blessed, only one exception exists. Tripoli, the least considerable of the Barbary states, had come forward with demands unfounded either in right or in compact, and had permitted itself to denounce war on our failure to comply before a given day. The Bey had already declared war in form. His cruisers were out. The The bravery exhibited by our citizens on that element will, I trust, be a testimony to the world that it is not the want of that virtue which makes us seek their peace, but a conscientious desire to direct the energies of our nation to the multiplication of the human race, not to its destruction. At the close of the war in 1812, the United States sent Commodore de Couture with a fleet of 9 ships to punish the Barbary pirates. He captured the principal ships, entered the Bay of Algiers, and dictated a treaty to the humbled ruler. He then sailed to Tunis and Tripoli, where the pirates pledged good conduct from then on. Since that time, the piracy clause of the Constitution has remained practically obsolete. Father, thank you for giving us leaders who are once again defending America. Listen every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. to WCNO as we learn more about our Constitution and how this God-inspired document brings life and liberty to our nation and hope to the world. More information and learning opportunities are available at my website, teachinghisstory.com.
There is someone who cares. Oh, there's someone who dares to love you, and his arms are open wide, waiting there for you to run inside. There is someone who when you reach for him, he's there. I pray you'll learn somehow, somewhere, Jesus is that someone who cares. One mistake made in your past holds to you hard and fast and mocks what might have been. There's no place for you to hide, you know, 'cause you have tried it time and time again. I'm not gonna stand here and tell you everything's gonna be alright. There is no way that I could know just what you're going through. Someone who cares. There is someone who dares to love you, and his arms are open wide, waiting there for you to run inside. Jesus is that someone who cares. I can see it hurts you bad. I don't wanna see you sad. Just open up your heart to find a love like you've never, ever had. There is someone who cares. Yeah, oh, there's someone. Someone who
Now the darkness fades into new beginnings as we lift our eyes to a hope beyond. Our creation waits with an expectation to declare the reign of the Lord our God. Shouts with the voice of triumph to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one is overcome, and for every fear there's an empty grave.
To Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, Find me here, Lord, as you draw me desperate for you, desperate for you. I surrender. I surrender.
shall have a song in the night. Come to the mountain of the Lord, see His glory and His might. Yes, the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard, and you shall have
coming against you. Praise is how you fight. God inhabits your praise. Just like God comes in. When praises go up, blessings come down.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks at 7:45 a.m. and p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
Thirst again. Let the one who hears the Savior say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Behold the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Oh, in Him we will never, never thirst again.
that I've given the Lord my heart. I never want to take it back. For day after day I've doubted if it could last through another night without someone to make it right. How I had longed to take it far, laying hold of the bliss from every shore. But when he came along I saw that my highest hopes were just old dreams and nothing more. So I'll keep believing in his name. And though others may doubt, I'll keep trusting just the same. And if my life's in, he had promised nothing more, I'd still be satisfied, satisfied working with my Lord. Even in darkness, how bright the sun. Now that he dwells within my soul, the hope he gives to me. So I'll keep believing in his name. And though others may doubt, I'll keep trusting just the same. And if my life's in, he had promised nothing more, I'd still be satisfied.
Touch my heart and there will be. When the Spirit of the Lord is in control, there's a joy no bounds can